Hello and welcome to the Antichrist Empire Deconstruction Podcast. I'm going to continue to speak about transfiguration. I am going to share a bit about, myself and my understanding of it based upon my own personal experience. So I will be sharing some testimony. I also want to get to the bedrock of Genesis 1 and the original creation of male and female. And let's look at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man," meaning mankind, humanity, "in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And God created man, humanity, mankind, in his own image. In the image of God created he, him, mankind, humanity. Male and female created he, them. And the main thing that we're looking here is dominion, because God created humanity with the word dominion. Let them have dominion. And so we get to verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion." So the instruction of God to male and female, we can see it's male and female because, you can't be fruitful and multiply unless you have male and female together. So, be fruitful and multiply. He's speaking to male and female. He says, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So, the primary message of humanity, male and female, from the Lord is to have dominion. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And when God created, God said, "Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So when he was speaking about man, he was saying dominion, let them have dominion. He was speaking about male and female. So when you've got male and female equally created in the image of God, each of us has the spirit of God. We're born of the spirit, we're in his image. In my last meeting and my last tape, I talked about how in his image means basically in his shadow, if you look at the original Hebrew. And of course, God is light. So it's talking about the covering of his spirit in his image. So, with the covering of his spirit, born of his spirit, and with the covering of his spirit, transfigured. And God is speaking to male and female the same way. And what I want you to begin to think about is a visual picture, a diagram of how that lays itself out. How does that appear on paper when you look at it, if you drew it? When God says, let them have dominion, and both male and female are created in his image, therefore, with his spirit covering male, his spirit covering female. Paul later says in Corinthians that woman is the glory of the man, as if woman was created in man's image. Okay? In man's image. That's not how woman was created. There are basic fundamental flaws in everything Paul teaches because he's teaching a different religion. He's teaching a different creation account and a different state of being of both male and female. But when we read Genesis 1, we know for certain that woman is equally created in the image of God, and woman is the child of God, born of God's spirit, just as man is. Woman is not the bodily appendage of a man, and she's not in man's image. She is not the glory of a man. The spirit of a man is not inside her, and the spirit of a man is not covering her. A man is not her God. But Paul is preaching, even in Ephesians, he's preaching that man is the God of a woman. Wives, submit yourselves, in verse 22, Ephesians 5, unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So he's drawing a parallel picture that as God is to men, men are to women. So God is the God of men, and men are the gods of women, and men are God to women. God is God to men, and men are God to women. He's trying to draw that picture, and that is not the diagram of Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, God is the God of male and female, just the same, equally. They both have dominion. They're both born of his spirit. They're both created in his image, born of his spirit, and his spirit abiding upon them. And when the Lord speaks to his church in the Gospel of John, and he's saying, abide in me, he's speaking to both male and female disciples just the same. God isn't saying to men, abide in me, but women, you abide in men because men are your gods, not me. No, God alone is God. What Paul is preaching is an entirely different religion. And when people preach submission to women, they're preaching that false religion. It's the wrong diagram. And what I'm talking to you about transfiguration. I know transfiguration very well because I was born again, as I testified in the last tape, and I'm not going to go all into the objections and my response as I did in the last tape, but I was born again, taken in the spirit to heaven. And I saw the Lord face to face in full revelation, and I was born again immersively in his glory, in his full manifest presence and power. So full transfiguration glory. I was immersively in his full transfiguration glory. That is why I'm gifted on earth to transfigure and have been ever since my salvation. And that is the power of my salvation. It's the most powerful salvation experience possible. And God ordained, called, and commissioned me to minister the transfiguration. Well, that runs very contrary to everything Paul taught, because Paul taught a hierarchical relationship between male and female, and he wanted women silenced and subjugated to men. He didn't want women to minister. He didn't want women to speak. He wanted women to be men's chattel property slaves. Because that is paterfamilias that he was preaching in Ephesians 5. And in Ephesians 5, he says the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So again, he's making God the head of men and men the head of women. So men are the church of God and women are the church of men. He's making men God ruling over women. He's making men God and the gods of women. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let wives be to their own husbands. So he's separating male and female, and he's making men the church of God, and he's making women the church of men. So he's making God the creator, the God of men, and women being the church of men who are the God and gods of women. So he's teaching this polytheistic New Age religion in which all men are God in Christ. All men are God and the sons of God. It's not the Christian religion. It is pagan Romanism because it's polytheistic and it makes men God. And in ancient Rome, Caesar was considered to be God in Christ. The paterfamilias were considered to be the family gods with a little g, and they were worshipped as god and gods. It's an entirely different religion. Ancient Rome had an entirely different religion that did make men god and gods with a little g. But what I want to talk to you about is, and I began talking about stepping into that tent of meeting in the last tape. What you need to step into is what the Lord says in Revelation 3 is that open door to the Church of Philadelphia. So it's like there's a portal opening, and you want to come under open skies of heaven, where the presence of the Lord is descending upon you. As we read about in Ezekiel, or I'm sorry, Exodus 33, that the Spirit of the Lord descended in the cloud and the pillar of glory. And so we want to position at that entryway and step into that portal, you know, that position. There's a literal position in the Spirit where the Spirit of the Lord will come down upon you. But you have to be in the right order. You cannot be a person who is hierarchical, because you're not positioning then under open skies. You're under so and so, who's under so and so, who's under so and so. It's all a top-down hierarchy, and who's at the top of it? The Pope, the Antichrist, Caesar? Well, when you allow someone to be over you, they're shutting the windows of heaven, because you're no longer personally, directly under the Lord alone, Him alone. You're coming under man, so you're not under God alone. So God alone, you're not in His image. You're not in His shadow. And that word in His image means in His shadow. The Spirit of the Lord come upon you, the Spirit of the Lord covering you. The Spirit of the Lord being your fortress all around you. You're not in that position when you're coming under man. Jeremiah 31, 34, the Lord said you would need no one to teach you. He ends hierarchy, and he says that you need no one to teach you, so there's no hierarchy, because all of you know me. All shall know the Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, from the smallest to the greatest. From the little child to the grown adult, everyone will know the Lord. So there's no hierarchy. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom. There's no coming under someone. If you come under someone, it's like coming out from under the cloud of the pillar of glory and coming under a dark cloud where the glory of the Lord cannot penetrate and reach you. Because it's like you're being under a tree where the sunlight can't fall on you. You're under a false covering. And if you listen to all these people who are hierarchical, they want you under a covering of man. And they're trying to say, well, that's how you come under the Spirit of God. They're wrong. The only way that you can come under the Spirit of God is personally and directly as His direct disciple, not being the disciple of man, not seeking another covering. Not seeking a man to be your God, but coming under God alone. So when you understand that each of us, for the kingdom to come on earth as in heaven, each of us who are the born again children of God, born of the Spirit of God, must revive in His image. We have to be covered by His Spirit. We have to come under Him alone. No more coming under man. We have to come under the Spirit of God alone. We've got to come out of the darkness into the light. We've got to step through the threshold of the door of the tent of the meeting. The door is open. We've got to step through it. We've got to enter the tent of meeting with the Lord alone being our God. No one else above us. No hierarchy. The hierarchy must end. Ministering edification is not the same thing as hierarchy. It is coming under the spout where the glory comes out, but the only way that you do that really effectively is if you're being edified to come out from under hierarchy. It seems a little bit counterintuitive, but But God did set mothers in leadership because we've got to cast down the spirit of hierarchy. And that spirit of a hierarchy is a spirit of male domination, female subjugation that Paul preaches. So when women lead, a woman is coming out from under male domination in leadership of the meeting, and she becomes the vessel of outpouring because she is not under a man. She is under the Lord alone, and she's birthing the Spirit, as you see in Revelation 12. She is arising in the glory of the Lord. She's breaking the power of Satan. She's casting down that spirit of hierarchy. She's casting down the dragon. And so then the skies open, and the Holy Spirit can pour out. Like the Holy Spirit was with Moses, the Holy Spirit can manifest when a woman comes into this alignment with the Lord. It empowers other people to come out from under human hierarchy, as she does. So it is a little counterintuitive, but you have to pray it through and think it through, because God has ordered and ordained meetings with apostolic mothers, as we see in 2 John, and we see the order of how to come out from under the fall in Revelation 12. And what I will tell you from my own personal experience, and I guess I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to keep this short today, is that people go berserk trying to stop me from transfiguring because they can't figure out that they could be influenced of the devil. There's no reasoning with people that are overpowered by wanting control. And when they want control, they want things to be kept the way that they like them, the way that they're comfortable. Okay? What I'm going to say to you is that when I do my ministry, I'm the one who's doing my ministry. You can leave or you can stay when I'm doing my ministry. But like if I'm holding a meeting, if I go to a venue and I'm holding a meeting and I'm the one who's going to, position myself through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit directly under God alone, to open those windows of heaven to pour out the seen glory of the Lord as I do the breakthrough in my personal stand so that I can usher in the Spirit of the Lord into the meeting. I'm the one doing that. And if a person is there at my meeting when I'm functioning this way, they don't have to stay. They can leave. They're free to go. They're free to go. They can choose to stay or they can choose to go, but they don't have the right to like run up to me on the podium and try to grab the microphone out of my hand and try to take over the meeting themselves. And I guess sometimes they think that that is the order of the meeting, and it's really not. It's really not. Because the order of the meeting, how God is going to order a meeting, is he's going to have the most important, the most anointed person, the person most powerful in the Spirit of God. He will let that person step to the podium to share their gifts. That is kingdom order. So it's always kingdom order. If you are the most anointed person there, God will call you to speak. He just will. He will call you to lead the meeting. He just will. So if you are, then that's the call of God. But when I'm there at the meeting, because my ministry is transfiguration, no, he's not going to have somebody else take over my meeting by coming up and wanting, you can't do better, in other words. You don't have something more powerful to minister than what I'm ministering, because I'm going to minister full transfiguration. So there isn't a way around the order of the meeting where somebody else could come in and be led of God to step to the podium and take leadership of the meeting. Not when I'm there. No. I don't know if that makes sense to people. I'm gonna slow down and I'm gonna review it just a little bit. In the kingdom of God, God is going to order a meeting so that the most powerful move of the spirit occurs in the meeting. So he's always going, if so, let's say somebody is leading the meeting. It's a scheduled meeting. Okay. They're leading the meeting. They have the capacity to attain about a 10% distribution of the anointing and power of God. 10%. They're at a 10% level. If somebody walks into the meeting and they're at 20% and the person who is leading the meeting is at 10%, God really will move. He'll move to reorder the meeting and want the person at the 20% level to say a word, to minister something. And because they're going to raise the level of the meeting from 10% to 20%. And the Spirit of the Lord works that way. It's just a function of the Spirit of God, and it should make sense. It's the way the Spirit of the Lord moves. Now, if you're in a very structured institutional meeting in a Paul church, the Spirit of the Lord isn't free to change up the order of a meeting. I have been at a meeting. Okay, I've been at a meeting. And, you know, I just wasn't personally prepared to follow through on this. Okay, I wasn't. But what happened was, you know, I was talking with the Lord, and I do carry an incredible anointing. And I walked, I was, you know, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share, but I just wasn't sure. And, you know, I was just being human. Okay. We're not always fully prepared to walk things out. We're just not. You can be gifted and anointing and gifted, anointed, and called of God, but that doesn't mean you're fully prepared to walk things out. Everything's a process. We all grow. We all learn. We're not always on the ball. Okay. We're just not. So I walked into a church, and it was a spirit-filled church. And a spirit-filled church where the pastor can really sense the Spirit of God moving will change the order of a meeting when he hears from the Spirit of the Lord and he's open. It's not like a highly structured meeting where there's not a lot of power of the Spirit. They're not going to change the order of a meeting no matter what. They're just not. But somebody who's very attuned to the Spirit, in a spirit-filled meeting, a pastor in that kind of a church, he could change the order of the meeting because he can sense the Spirit and he can move with the Spirit. Pastors are at different levels in the Spirit of God. Certain things are more structured than others. So this was a spirit-filled meeting, and I was kind of talking to the Lord before I went to the meeting. And, you know, I had a lot of power of the Holy Spirit on me at the time. I had mega anointing on me at the time. And you can't see it unless you have spiritual discernment or unless we're hitting the level where I'm manifesting seeing glory, which I can do. But it was incognito, but it was very powerful. So to cut to the chase, the minute I came up like from the back. And so I was going to enter the church sanctuary. The service was already started. I got there a little late. So the pastor was at the podium. My foot crossed the threshold to enter from the back into the sanctuary. And he said, stop. A very powerful anointing has just entered the sanctuary. So he knew by the Spirit of God. He just did. He really offered to open up the podium to me. He knew the Lord was speaking to him. And he didn't know who it was or what was specifically taking place. But he said, if you are moved of the Spirit, you know, to come step up to the podium and share, we will change the order of the meeting for you. Well, I knew it was me. But I didn't expect that. I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't flexible to move in the Spirit of God to go, okay, I'll step to the podium. You know, I'll do this. That's just not where I was at. I just wasn't there for that. You know, I could have been, but I wasn't. But what I'm trying to tell you is that is how the Lord will order a meeting in the Spirit of God. Human beings won't do that, you know, unless they're in the Spirit. This pastor was Spirit-filled and he was in the Spirit. And I'd prayed about it and I was kind of talking to the Lord about it. And I was kind of, well, maybe I would, you know, because the Lord was kind of asking me to. And I was like, well, maybe I would. I'm not sure, Lord. I don't know. So I wasn't like real clear on it, but we were having a discussion when I crossed the threshold. He wanted me to minister. But I just wasn't there for that. I wasn't on board. I wasn't on the ball. But he was ready to reorder the service to bring me to the podium to minister miracle working power. And I just wasn't there with it at the time. So I know I belabored it a little bit, but I hope, even though I'm belaboring it, that you can kind of see and understand that this is how things work. But when I'm at the podium, I'm the apostolic mother of the Church of Philadelphia, called, commissioned, and anointed of God to minister full transfiguration to the church. There's not someone who has a higher ranking in the Church of Philadelphia of anointing, commission, or calling. The best outcome for the Church of Philadelphia is that I would lead the meeting and that I would get comfortable and fully share my gifts. So that is the best outcome of the meeting, is that I stand there and I minister. So, because we can hit the 100% level through my ministry, but so I'm not going to allow somebody to take the podium from me. I'm not. So when I lead a meeting, the proper kingdom order is for people to accept that I'm leading the meeting, not trying to take over my meeting. They don't have there's not going to be that opening in the Spirit of God, and I won't allow that opening. But I'm not saying it's not proper. It is proper, and it would have been proper, if churches would have always been like this spirit-filled pastor who could hear from the Lord and who could move in the spirit when I was more prepared, like, okay, I'll do it. So it just we just never really connected. And you had the Paul church with the male domination, and it just was never in sync in the spirit good enough where, it's just right for me to share my gifts and power. But people have the choice then in my meetings to stay or to go. They don't have a choice to try to take over my meetings. That's not going to be an option as I move to this level of my ministry. And the reason is that I'm going to move to step under those open windows through the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what I have noticed is that people go wonky when the Spirit begins to move, because if they're resisting the Holy Spirit, they don't want that power outpouring to move. They don't want the Lord to show up in the level power He will. And they might not consciously say that. They'll have an excuse, they'll rephrase it, they'll justify it, they'll rationalize it, but they won't allow it to happen. Or people will become so uncomfortable, okay? So uncomfortable because they're used to a religious spirit of male, top-down male hierarchy that they've thought is the spirit of God, that they don't know how to handle it when someone is ministering, as I minister, the level ground of the cross and the equality of male and female. The spirit of God coming in as he came into creation. In the creation of male and female, where the Lord covered male was created in the image of God. The Spirit of the Lord was over the male, head to toe, and the Spirit of the Lord was over woman, head to toe. Man was not over the woman. Man did not replace God. Woman did not have a covering of man. Woman was covered by the Spirit of God. She was created in the image of God, covered by the Spirit of God directly. So people that have a reversal order in their own set points, they want to usher in the devil in the fall. And the devil in the fall took the covering away from woman of being created in the image of God, the Spirit of God upon woman, as you see in Revelation 12. The transfiguration is the restoration of that covering of the Spirit of God on the woman, created in the image of God. She is being restored, and then the whole church is being restored. That is how the order of the meeting goes, to minister transfiguration, to minister the highest outpouring of the Spirit of God. They're woman-led meetings. And so some people are just not comfortable with that. They want a woman under a man. because they're more accustomed to Lucifer. They're more accustomed to the devil bringing a woman under the domination and control of a man so that the spirit of the devil is turned loose and over that woman, crushing her spirit and soul. And they won't admit that that's what they're doing. They try to portray it like, no, this is right. This is the divine order Paul taught. So they're off in a Paul religion, and they've left the Johannine church. They're not the Johannine church, they're the Pauline church, they're Laodicean, and they cannot enter the manifest presence of God like the Church of Philadelphia can. The Church of Philadelphia is Johannine. In the Johannine church is a Genesis 1 church that perceives and understands that woman is created in the image of God, just as man is created in the image of God. So both are directly under God alone in the power of the covering of his spirit in creation, in the image of God, created in the image of God, born of the spirit of God. Both created at the same time with the same exact word of dominion, which means the man is not ruling over the woman. The woman is an autonomous human being as a daughter of God, and she has autonomous self-determination. She has a spirit born of God. She has her own mind, will, and emotions. And she is created to operate in this manner as a full human being with a spirit and a soul of her own in the will of God. She wasn't created to be the bodily extension of a man, born of the spirit of a man. She's born of the spirit of God himself, God the creator. Man is not the God of woman. Paul taught wrong. Paul was teaching in Ephesians 5, Greco-Roman pagan household codes that teach the worship of man as God. That is a 666 beast religion. So, what I do when I minister, I'm casting down the dragon. What does that mean? Well, I mean, you could describe it in many ways. So I'm not going to limit, like, this is the only way you can describe it, but you are casting down the spirit of male domination and female subjugation. You're casting down the false covering of a man. A woman is not to be under the false covering of a man. She's to be in the tent of meeting in the image of God, glorified, filled with the spirit of God himself, in direct personal relationship with the Lord as a child of God, born of the spirit of God. She's a woman is a full human being. And when I was in the Paul Church, I realized these people don't realize I'm a human being. They think I'm a robot that a man programs and controls. They really do not have the understanding that a woman is a disciple of the Lord, led, guided, and directed by the indwelling Holy Spirit, walking and talking with the Lord. They really think that that's for men only. And that this is what Paul has taught, that God is the God of men and men are the God of women. But they don't think this through consciously. They're not thinking. The true born again Christians in that false church, they're not thinking it through to realize, wait a minute, Paul drew the schematic wrong. Ephesians 5 is wrong because you're making man the God of woman and you're denying her the truth of direct personal relationship with God. You are denying that woman was created in the image of God as his child, born of his spirit. And you're denying that spiritual reality of who she is in spirit and in truth. And then you're robbing from her the dominion in which she was created, which is the same dominion in which male was created. And they're trying to restructure the male-female dynamic to take God away from the woman, to make man the God of woman, which throws God out of the relationship dynamic between male and female. And ushers in the spirit of Lucifer. So, what I'm doing when I'm standing up to minister, My gifts of the Spirit are operating. I'm teaching you the fundamentals of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you get this. What happens is, as these spiritual gifts awaken in you, you have this automatic operation that you resist the devil and he flees. And it's by knowing truth. It's by your spirit being strong from knowing truth, so that you just reflexively cast down that spirit of male hierarchy, that spirit of male domination and female subjugation, just while you're standing there, so that you enter the door of the meeting, the door of the tent of the meeting, where you're entering into the place of being created in the image of God, where the Spirit of the Lord descends upon you in his manifest presence and power. And it goes all the way to the level of seeing glory, and it goes all the way to transfiguration. And that is what I minister. And when I stand there, this functionally works. And this is how the Spirit is poured out. But what I'm saying is, there can be men or women, but particularly men, in the congregation, in the meeting present, who are very uncomfortable with a new set point. Even though it's the glory of God, they still have their own stuck point where they were, and they will try to reverse it without even consciously being aware. It's just kind of a reflexive thing where they'll try to reverse it to make God manifest. They can enjoy, if they're truly born again, they will enjoy experiencing the manifest presence and power of God in his seen glory manifesting in the meeting. They will enjoy the fellowship and communion with the Lord, but they'll want to try to flip it into their own set point, into the position that Paul taught of male domination, female subjugation. So they'll want to be over me. Okay? They'll want to be over me. And by doing that, they're raising up the spirit of the devil to shut down the spirit of God. It's like they're reintroducing the fall, and they're coming at me in that bad spirit. Like, I just cast down the dragon, and they're like, well, we want to bring the dragon back, and we want the dragon over you, crushing your spirit and soul, but we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want this power of the Spirit of God, but we want it to be ministered by the power of Lucifer. Though they don't say that in those words, they want what God has, but they want it their way. They want the glory of the Lord, the true glory and love of God, but they still want women to worship them as God. They don't, they're a lot of times they're not ready. They don't have enough edification in the truth to give up this lie of the devil that they can be the gods and the rulers over women. They still want male domination, female subjugation. They just aren't aware yet. If they're truly born again, they're not strong enough in their spirits yet to resist the devil. They're just not strong enough yet. They're stuck where they want what God has, but they want it according to the lies that they've been told, and without surrendering male domination and female subjugation. They want the devil to produce for them what God only can, because they want what Paul said to be true, and it's not true. So they're very confused. It's a very much a mess. And with women, you kind of think about, what's the difference between men and women? Men are bossy and women can be catty. That can happen. That can happen. Women can be bossy, but a lot of times women are jealous. And so when the women rise up, it's like they can't stand seeing another woman prosper and succeed. It's kind of like they just can't bear it. And I think it's an envy thing, because they're more prone to say, well, she's up, so I'm down, so I'm going to take her down. It's more like that with women. It's not the ingrained male domination, female subjugation. The men are more stuck on that. I want her under me. And the women are more, how the enemy uses these people. If I lead a meeting, the women are more, well, gosh, she's up, I feel envy, and then they're going to act out. None of this, it can be conscious. Okay, it can be conscious. But a lot of time it's not conscious. A lot of times people don't know what spirit they're operating in. And especially when they're not used to the power of the spirit moving and seeing glory at the at a more full miracle working power level, and they just want control. They don't know how to be still and be quiet in the presence of the Lord and let God be. They're fighting it. It's just human nature. Like if you had drowning man syndrome, okay, where you've got a swimmer and he's drowning in the water, okay, he's not going to make it. But somebody goes in to rescue him, and that drowning man doesn't have enough sense to cooperate with the rescuer and will try to drown the rescuer. And you've got to be very, very careful if you're going to try to help a drowning man, because they will drag you under with them because they're not being rational. They're not thinking it through. It's kind of a fear reaction. It's reflexive. And that's what happens in meetings. But when I lead a meeting, because of my office, my gifting, my calling, it's take it or leave it. You can stay or you can go, but you can't take leadership of the meeting away from me. And I'll have it pretty much set up where that's not going to be possible. And people have to leave if they're not. If you don't like a meeting, you have to leave. You don't get the right to take over somebody else's meeting. That's just not how good manners work. And you don't get to, if the person who's ministering is your friend or family member, you don't get to take over their life because you don't agree with their ministry. And I've had this happen. Okay, people lose their ever-loving minds. They can't see what they're doing wrong, and they don't even know their true motivation. They would not believe then that God is actually moving in the full stature move through me. Because in their minds, this is how most Christians are. They go, "Well, let me check her doctrine." And they go, "Oh, she doesn't receive Paul. Oh, well, then she must be wrong." It doesn't occur to them, "No, you can be wrong. Paul can be wrong." And they go, "Well, does she believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible word of God?" And I'm like, "Well, no, it's some of it was added by Rome." "Oh, there you go. There you go." So they think they have grounds to violate my boundary lines, but they've done no wrong. They think they've done no wrong because they've gotten religious, and now boundary lines no longer exist. They're doing good no matter what harm they do. They're doing good because they're defining everything according from their own point of view, and they're not understanding. Listen, I don't really care what your point of view is. I didn't need your permission to minister. I'm called and anointed of God, and I'm sharing what God has me to share. But they don't have the same respect level. So I have to be very careful when I deal with people because of the reality of when you minister, great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and restoration move of the Spirit and reformation, people don't get it at first and they're stuck at their own set points. And I'm not perfect either. I mean, if I was perfectly strong all the time, and I didn't need some format that is keeps me safe. If I didn't need some cooperation. If I was as strong as the Lord and perfect all the time and always had been, well, I guess I could overcome every fault, flaw, and error of those around me. But I'm human too. So I have to create boundary lines. And I have to create situations and dynamics that make it more readily possible for me to minister the full stature move of the Spirit, which is transfiguration. Transfiguration is the full stature move. And I'm going to read Isaiah 42 really quickly again. Verse 14. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. Obviously, when you hear that, you should see that God is ministering with a woman. He is not gonna, God and a man ministering together, come on now, are not gonna cry out like a travailing woman. That would be weird. But God, because he's indwelling women, just like he indwells men, when he's ministering with a woman, he's gonna cry out like a travailing woman. So Isaiah 42:14 makes it very clear that God is ministering with a woman. And that is Revelation 12. People say, well, that's not a woman. Well, yeah, it is. Because when God cries out like a travailing woman, he's not crying out with a man minister. Because it would just be weird if a man tried to cry out like a travailing woman. He'd be doing an affectation that would be weird. It wouldn't be natural. It wouldn't be normal. No man cries out like a travailing woman ever, ever. In the spirit of God, ever. That never happens. But a woman ministering can cry out like a travailing woman, and God ministering with a woman can cry out like a travailing woman with her. And that's normal. So when you read Revelation 12, really think about Isaiah 42:14. And I'm just sharing some about transfiguration, about how it works, how it's interrupted, how people interrupt it by not staying quiet and still and trying to get things in something they're more comfortable with. You know, they can react in a religious spirit, in a fallen spirit. And I hope that's helpful to you. God bless you.